Hello and welcome to H-Town Rewind. This is Josh.
And David.
We are history teachers in the greater Houston area, which we define very generously.
How do we define it, Josh?
Well, would you say Sugar Land is?
Absolutely, yes.
Would you say Deer Park?
I would hold my breath in Deer Park, but yes, I would say Deer Park.
There's probably good stories there. What about Austin?
It's got to have something to do with a Houstonian in Austin or an Austinian in Houston.
What if a person with the last name Houston in Austin?
Now I'm confused.
I don't know either.
Wait, what about Dallas?
All right. Welcome to the show, everybody. So, David, this episode I'm very excited about. I brought it to the table, and then you corrected me correctly.
Yes, that's what a correction is.
I wanted
to... Yeah, I did that during pre-planning.
We actually plan for these things, believe it or not.
Let's do this. A little inside baseball talk. We don't understand what the term pre-planning means. What are you pre-planning for? Are you pre-planning for the plan? I think
that's a George Carlin bit.
No, it isn't. Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, man. The man's genius, and you will be missed.
So I was half remembering a story from Houston where Mikhail Gorbachev came to Houston and saw a grocery store, and it
was actually Boris Yeltsin.
It was Boris Yeltsin, you were right. But that is the story we're going to tell.
Boris Yeltsin visits a Randall's in Clear Lake.
If you live in a part of the country that does not have Randall's, we'll get to that in a little bit.
Let's do that. Randall's is we have two to three different types of grocery stores in the United States. We have the small markets, then we have a grocery store, which is what we're going to talk about today, and then we have the plus, the extra, this is a grocery store, but we're going to actually have everything available to sell. Your HEB Plus is a great example in Texas, like just the mega stores.
If you live in California, or Ralph's. If you live in the Southeast, the Publix.
There we go. Ralph's, yeah. Publix.
Piggly Wiggly.
Deep South.
I think of it as Midwest, but that's okay.
Okay, so...
Shall we do a little context?
Yeah.
Because we discussed this, right, David? Sometimes we wonder, are we given enough context?
Sometimes we fall into a conversation we assume the listeners have been here with the entire time. So, no, let's give some context. So, what we're going to talk about is Boris Yeltsin's unscheduled trip to a Randall's in 1989 and how Pudding Pops may or may not have led to the fall of communism.
And we should probably just say, we're talking about the Cold War here.
Tell us about the Cold War. Quick sketch.
So for everyone rolling their eyes saying, I know what the Cold War is, let me make this very brief. The Cold War was an existential crisis between the Western world, United States, and the communist world, the Soviet Union. By the 1980s, things are starting to get better, but they're not great yet.
They're not thawing. They're not getting more cold. It's just concepts unbefore known, like perestroika, are going to be introduced into the zeitgeist. Peace. Basically, a less aggressive form of communism from the Soviet Union.
And so we're taking our story into the 80s. We're 80s children.
The late 80s.
Yes, specifically 1989. Boris Yeltsin, who is not yet the president of Russia, that has not happened yet.
No, he is. He's about 2 years out from. Everything that's going to happen. The fall of communism starts with the fall. It starts a little bit earlier, but let's go with the fall of the Berlin Wall, which is going to slippery slope its way into the fall of communism, the fall of the Soviet Union. In 1989, when this instance happens, he is a leader. He is part of Soviet leadership. I mean, he was in Soviet politics in the late 70s, along with Putin. More on that in a bit.
He's a big deal.
He is a Russian dignitary. He's Russian leadership. I'm gonna jump back and forth between Soviet and Russia. To me, they are interchangeable. If I say Soviet, I mean specifically, you know, something about the cultura, nomenklatura. Let's talk about the Russian experience of shopping,
if we can. All right, please. What is it like to shop in Soviet era Russia?
Okay, so first off, you're going to have a bag, a just-in-case bag. Russians all had and carried with them a just-in-case bag. It's a bag where, you know, just in case the store you walk past is selling butter that day, you can go in and buy butter, or a triangle of milk, if you will. the concept is pretty simple. Early on, 50s and 60s, you would have grocery stores that would be located in the first building of an apartment building. So it would be, think that if you're living in the apartment, you on your way home, you know, coming in from work, you stop off at the grocery store and you pick up your one item. Because what's going to happen is the stores will only really carry one to two items, meat, either fish, maybe vegetables, but that's it. So if you want to go to the fish store, you go to the fish store or the fish product store. And like I said, these were typically in the first floor of apartment buildings. So in the middle late 70s, we're going to see kind of an evolution into separate stores where they're going to sell more than one item. And these are called gastronomes. Gastronomes would be based on really a population of the area that they were in. So Moscow was literally Moscow number one was the largest gastronome. This would be your HEB plus. Kiev, as I was raised to pronounce it, was actually number two, had the second largest grocery store. But it's a completely different animal when you talk about grocery shopping in Soviet Russia in the 80s. Every store is going to have bread. Every store will have bread. Even if they run out of bread, as we understand it, they'll have rye bread. They made bread fresh within 24 hours, so you would have three bread deliveries a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Now, here's the odd thing. What if the bread store sells out of bread?
What do you do?
Well, they're still open. You just go to the bread store, and they say, no, we don't have bread here.
I thought you couldn't say that.
You can't say we're out. This was actually, you could be penalized if you worked at a store for saying that you're out of a product. You're never out. Would you like to hear a Russian joke?
I would love to hear a Russian joke.
All right,
joke.
So it's better in Russian, but here we go. All right, so a guy is going to get dinner, and he can either go to the meat store or meat product store or fish product store. So he wants fish, so he goes to the fish product store. And he walks in, and there's an old lady. There's nothing in the store. There's no people in the store. There's nothing there. He goes to the old lady who's sitting there. He says, can I get fish? She says, there's no meat here. He goes, okay, I understand. Can I get some fish? She looks at him and says, there's no meat here. So he doesn't understand, and the lady looks at him and then points across the street to the meat store and says, there's no fish there. So go there for no fish. That was the joke. It's better in Russian. Okay. Let's talk about that fish store. I like fish. Josh, you like fish? You like seafood?
I like seafood as long as people don't microwave it at work.
Okay. If you microwave seafood at work...
You're history's greatest monster.
You are what's wrong.
Yes.
So if you go to the fish store, you're not going to be able to get fish. Well, you can get fish, but it's going to be frozen or canned. And when I say canned, I mean specifically canned whale meat. You will find canned whale meat at every store you go to. I said that right. Yes. Or, if you like, you can get a completely whole frozen carp. Because carp fish at a Russian fish market, fish product store, was a delicacy. So, if you luck out, maybe the fish truck from the local aqua farm will show up. And that's where you can buy live fish. So, that's your fish experience. Say you go to the meat store. Josh, do you like a steak?
I love me a steak.
All right. You like a nice raw, medium rare.
Ribeye. That's my favorite.
Ribeye, medium rare. Okay. So you go to the meat product store, and you get a cut of steak or cut of beef. It'd be wrong to call it a steak. Let's just say you get a cut of beef. They don't really have cows as we understand in Texas and Argentina. They have dairy cows. Once the dairy cows stop producing milk, they are killed, slaughtered, and then you get that. That's the beef you get.
And just, again, context. Different cows are used for different purposes. A dairy cow does not make good beef on a good day.
In the rest of the world. In Soviet Russia, no. No. Now you go gulag. So, that's your typical experience. In the United States, you're used to going to a grocery store and it opening at 6 every day. Not quite that in Russia, or Soviet Russia. In Soviet Russia, the store might open at 9, it might open at 10 the next day, it might not open at all. I mean, it will be open, there will be employees there not doing anything. You may be able to buy fish at 10 a.m. the next day, next week, you might be able to buy fish at 2 p.m. It's a very, very fluid consumer culture in the Soviet Union. Let's say you wanted to get sausage. Josh, do you like sausage?
A good brat.
I like a brat.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully you live within 3 hours of Moscow, because if you don't live within 3 hours of Moscow, you're probably only going to get a week, month, year, two-year-old kielbasa, which is fine. Nothing against kielbasa. So what do? Well, you reach out to somebody who lives near in the Moscow region to shop, and you offer to buy them something if they will then go to the Moscow shop to get you sausage. I'm not making this up, boys and girls. These are called the sausage trains, and they could go up to 6 hours of length away, distance away from Moscow, just to be able to get into Moscow to buy products. Well, that's a great question, Josh. Thank you for asking. Why don't they just go to Moscow?
Why don't they?
Because you need a talam. A talam is a permission slip that you have to have to be able to shop outside of your designated area. So let's say you live in Ukraine. You're only shopping in your region that's nearest to Kyiv. Hopefully you know some people. Otherwise, there's always beet soup and bread.
Beet soup.
So, vegetables. Well, they have them. They're going to be roots. They're going to be radishes, potatoes. It's a funny story about the radish that Mr. Yeltsin's going to see in Randall's. But it's a completely different experience than what Americans understand. Like I said, a just-in-case bag. Every Russian citizen across the entire union is going to have a just-in-case bag. Because if you need butter and you went to the store yesterday, you didn't need butter, but they had butter. Now you need butter, and they're probably not going to have butter.
What if I don't care about butter?
Well, you kind of need butter to cook. Or you can use your sunflower seed oil.
Ooh.
Yeah. Which is everywhere. Everything I read and saw today, researching this, I didn't see any peanut oil. I didn't see any lard. I saw sunflower oil.
What if I go to the fish store, I get fish, but I'm allergic to fish?
Well, you're in luck, because you've got fish. This means that you can possibly trade your fish for some beef. Also, if I hate to say this, because I'm already, we're back in school mode here. Mm-hmm. Friends, have I mentioned chicken yet? You'll notice that I haven't mentioned chicken. I'm going to talk about pigs and pork here in a bit, but really that's it. It's fish, it's beef, it's pork. I'm not saying chickens didn't exist, but chickens were, I guess, a unicorn, because in all of my research, I never saw anything chicken. I saw chicken Kiev. We know chicken Kiev.
Oh, I love chicken Kiev. Right. I don't want to make it. It's too hard.
Yes, it's hard for a reason, because if you get a hold of chicken, it better be the greatest meal that you've ever prepared, because, dude, we're talking about chicken. We're not talking whale meat. We're not talking old dairy cow. We're talking chicken. And that's a huge thing. No shopping carts either. That's an Americanism. I actually wasn't in the 50s in America. It was the 40s.
Post-World War I is what I've heard.
Post-World War I.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like 20s.
Because all the men were at war, and so there wasn't some guy to go in the back and get your stuff. You had to go get yourself.
Really?
That's what I've heard, yeah.
According to Mad Men, it was so that people looked like they could carry more and that they were actually buying stuff.
That might, well, the whole way a grocery store is laid out, if I make it, take a slight tangent, sir.
Hang on.
I'll hang.
No. I want the listener to understand just how sad grocery shopping was in Soviet Russia. It was a sad, depressing event. Everything I've read, the joyous moments in a Soviet grocer would mean that you don't have to get sprouts anymore. Sprouts is like, it's a fish sauce in a tomato sauce.
It's not the chain of salad restaurants.
No. It's pronounced that way, but no, it's not. It's not that.
So even if you're a person of privilege in the Soviet Union, this is going to be a problem for you. Because I want to bring it back to Yeltsin here at some point.
If you're a person of privilege in the Soviet Union, so you're in the Politburo, you're a party member, and you're in Moscow, you're going to have the gastronome. You're going to have multiple selections of different things. Multiple selections of triangle milk. Okay, so our friends in Canada,
yes,
will know that, milk doesn't have to be sold in a carton form or a jug. It can be sold in a bag. Well, in Russia, in Soviet Russia, they're bagged by you. No, they have...
Kids, that is a reference that you're not going to get, and that's okay.
That's what I'm going to keep making them too.
Do
ask,
it.
It's, ask your parents.
It made me laugh.
100 kilograms of whatever. Going to a store. Well, you go into a store and you need some cheddar slices for your hamburgers, right? So yeah. you buy a thing of sliced cheddar.
Yep.
Right?
Or Swiss, whatever I want.
In Soviet Russia, you walk to the counter and say, I'd like 100 grams of cheese. Well, what kind of cheese are you going to get? Cheese, just the cheese kind, 100 grams. So they'll cut off 100 grams, they'll weigh it, and then they hand it to you. And Josh, when I told you this this anecdote, because they don't have jokes in Russia, they have anecdotes.
Yep.
You said, yeah, normal. Like, no. When you do that in the United States, it's wrapped, and then it's scanned, and it's priced, and then they hand it to you. No, just here's your cheese. Do with it as you like. Sour cream? How do you think one gets sour cream at the grocery in Russia?
Difficultly.
Well, there's a big vat of sour cream, and they have a spoon, and they spoon out the sour cream, and then they weigh it, and then they hand it to you. Yes, you need your own container for your sour cream. They're not equipped for a sour cream container. So literally, we should all be thinking of the Daisy sour cream little quart jar. No.
And we were scared of these people.
Luxury. We were scared of these people. So that was a real laugh from Josh.
I snorted.
You ask for beef. I'd like 170 kilograms of beef. All right. Well, here's 170 kilograms of beef. I want to get into that. I want to get up to the checkout process, but I want to introduce a term. I'm not going to say this right, and I do apologize now. Pokazua. This is the image of success, the image of prosperity. I have exactly 13 cans of whale meat. What I'm going to do is I'm going to make three different stands of three whale meats in different areas of my store, so it looks like I have more whale meat. And those words I don't think have ever been uttered together in a sentence in the English language. So that is, in 1989, what your grocery experience would be in Russia. Also, well, there's one thing I left out. This is after you waited maybe an hour or so in line. And again, you're walking past a grocery store, you see a line outside, it's longer than normal. Clearly they have something on sale there or for sale there they didn't have yesterday. What do you do? Do you have the time, Josh?
I got the time.
You jump in line there. You hop in line just to see. They might have butter.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So let's bring this all back home to make a Bob Dylan reference.
Okay.
September 1989.
Right.
Yeltsin comes for a state visit to Houston.
Well, not to correct you, he was given a... He applied for a two-week visa. And for reasons I could not find out, the two-week visa was denied. He was given a one-week visa for a cultural exchange tour. He started in New York, spent a few days in New York, and then came to Houston.
He came to Houston, and he goes to NASA.
Of course.
Johnson Space Center. And he, he gets the tour. He gets the 5-cent tour, as you will. And then just randomly, because you told me, Yeltsin was a man of the people, or at least like to pretend to be.
He was. A quick backstory. Boris Yeltsin became involved in Soviet politics in the late 70s. I think I mentioned that earlier.
Yep.
One of his things was, as he rose in leadership, he would make unannounced stops. So in Russia, he would literally, going from place A to place B, there's a factory, let's stop. Let's see how productive this factory is. Let's see if this factory is maintaining Bolshevik ideology. So the reason he did this was he hated this, what he called, or what is called in Russian, I'm going to say it wrong again, Pokazuha, or the Potemkin effect. If you don't know what the Potemkin effect is, Google it.
And Russian listeners, if we have any, please correct us, because engagement is engagement.
No matter how dark you say it.
Please, be matter of fact, we love Eastern Europeans.
So Yeltsin's in New York, and he's checking out New York, and I got an interesting note on this.
Please.
He flew a private jet, a millionaire's private jet, from New York to Houston. The CEO of ADM, which is a multinational company, the CEO also had done business. I want to say it's an agro, like a big agro company.
Maybe.
You
know what I find curious? Did he fly into Hobby or did he go to Ellington?
Ellington.
It was Ellington because he's a... Yeah.
But it wasn't military.
Right, it's not an Air Force base at that point, I don't think anymore.
No, but it wasn't a military flight. It was a private jet.
But still.
It's a private flight. no, but this the gentleman who owned the plane was also in business with Castro, was also in business with just a whole lot of people. More on this in a bit. So, yeah, he flies to Houston, mm-hmm. and he goes and he visits NASA.
Yeah, and he gets the 5-cent tour, like I said. And then, as you said, he has this habit of just checking out places.
Yeah.
What's the nearest grocery store?
Literally, they're passing a Randall's. He's like, well, what's that? That's a grocery store. Let's check that out. Let's go ahead and stop. Well, we don't have security. We don't have a Vanguard. We don't have an advance team. That's not how Yeltsin rolls. Rolls in a lot of vodka.
Oh.
Unannounced visits.
You made me laugh again. Sorry. He has a problem, and
he had a problem, past tense.
Yes. I wish he'd gotten the proper help. But it's okay.
Anyway, so here's the thing. He thought of Clear Lake. The reason that he wanted to go to this Randall's was he thought that Clear Lake was a boondock. He thought it was out in the middle of nowhere.
The sticks.
He thought it was the sticks. He had been to New York City. And one can only assume, okay, well, in my mind, I relate that to Moscow. That's the big city. Okay, we go to Houston. Did he go to Houston proper? No. Went to NASA. So,
which, again, context, is a little south of Houston proper.
But it is Houston.
Yes.
I mean, if you want to, I know gerrymandering is a big hot topic right now, and I hate to go topical, but yes, that was clearly gerrymandered to get NASA as part of the city of Houston. So he thinks he's in the boondocks. So we're going to stop with this Randall's.
He goes into the Randall's, and I'm using the expression an existential crisis.
I've got some quotes.
Before you get to your quotes, just for context, if you don't have a Randall's in your area, there's nothing wrong with a Randall's.
Maybe, it's a little overpriced.
Yeah, maybe Tom Thumb. They're owned by the same people.
It's slightly overpriced. And Randall's, to me, though, is the clear winner of consumerism. If you can't find your thing in the section where your thing is supposed to be, your thing will be somewhere. Your thing will be in three different places because Randall's associates this buying with this buying. So where's the peanut butter? Well, it's in the peanut butter aisle. Where's the jelly? All over the place. Everywhere.
And so, if I may say, the only time I've ever really patronized a Randall's, it's like Easter Sunday or it's Christmas Eve and the good grocery store is closed.
I went to a Randall's this morning.
Yeah?
Yeah. I went to four different grocery stores looking for one thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this out loud so that you guys can understand this in context. I went to four different grocery stores this morning looking for one specific thing. I didn't find it. But that is going to... That one anecdote, as they would say in Russian, is going to completely define this experience as far as I understand it.
And just saying, if Boris Yeltsin had gone to an HEB or a Publix or even a Buc-ee's, he probably would have unalived himself.
Well, no. Honestly, had he gone to Publix or HEB or Buc-ee's, I think he would have had the same experience.
Yeah.
I don't want to harp on consumerism, but man, we nailed, as Americans, the United States nailed consumerism. Like, we're done. Like, we perfected it. We are at the top of the mountain.
We're not eating whale meat in the can.
We're not eating canned whale meat. And you know what?
But we could if we wanted to.
Please, let us know in the comments if you've eaten canned whale meat and your thoughts on the matter.
And what breed of whale is the best? I bet it's humpback. I don't know. Tell us.
It's a Star Trek 4 thing. No wonder that's why the aliens came.
So he goes there, Randall's. It's an experience. Do you want to elaborate on that experience, please?
Well, he went to the grocery store. He was absolutely and completely shocked by what he saw. First thing he noticed was that there weren't lines outside. So he thought it was closed. They assured him it was still open. They don't have lines outside. In Soviet Russia, the lines have you. Anyway.
Look it up, kids.
One story I love in particular. He stopped a shopper with a cart, and she had a few, she had items in her shopping cart because she's there shopping. And she asked her how many times that she went to the grocery store. How many times do you think she went to the grocery store?
In a week or what?
In a week.
Two or three?
All right. She said once a week. She goes once a week.
Okay.
This completely floored Boris Yeltsin. Soviets go to every day to check if they have better things than they had the day before, or if they have anything. It is a daily trip to a grocery store in Soviet Russia. The vegetable section absolutely blew his mind. His words, not mine. Soviet vegetables are sad. He made the comparison. U.S. radishes were the size of a Russian potato. So hold up your right hand. Imagine a radish right there in the palm of your hand. Okay? That's the size of a Russian potato, because your entire hand is a U.S. potato. He was floored by the technology, specifically scanning to pay. So when he watched the checkout process, he would see them just scan an item and then put it, and then it gets back, scan another item, put it, and gets back. These are things that we take for granted. Even in 1989, if you weren't even born in 1989, you still take this for granted. In Russia, they have a mechanical calculator. excuse me. So here's the amount of the thing that you bought at the amount of the thing that you bought in grams. Here's the total weight with amount of the thing that you bought. And here's all the things that you bought added together. So when you go to the fish store, the fish product store, they only have canned whale meat. They don't have to weigh it as much. It's just the canned whale meat.
And so, they don't even have humpback. It's like a narwhal.
Okay. For all our Russian listeners, we're not saying that Russians eat narwhals.
All I know, narwhal's delicious. I don't know.
I would assume they're delicious. I just assume anything that looks like it could be a Pegasus or a unicorn is delicious to eat. That's why there's so few of them.
Agreed.
So, on his trip back, in the car, he looked confused and depressed. He realized that his life would have been better, and he admitted this to himself. He realized his life would have been better had he not been born in the Soviet Union. He realized that the Soviet way was a lie, and this would be the final straw in Boris Yeltsin's Bolshevikism. Bolshevikism, for those that don't know, you have the Mensheviks, you have the Bolsheviks. These are two competing powers way back in the early 20th century in Russian history. These are the two parties of communists that are looking for supremacy. Unfortunately, Leo Tolstoy and all the Mensheviks got wiped out for Bolshevism. Regardless, quote, if Russians saw the conditions of U.S. supermarkets, there would be a revolution, unquote. This is Boris Yeltsin's thoughts immediately leaving the Randalls in Clear Lake. And his words, he felt sick for the Russian people. Imagine that your entire life understanding, entire life philosophy, everything that you have breathed in and out as sacred as oxygen has just been a myth. And you've just seen that myth exposed in a Randalls.
A mediocre grocery store.
At a Randalls in Clear Lake.
So can you say that Houston ended the Cold War?
Well, no. I told a friend, asked, what are you guys going to talk about today? I'm going to talk about how Pudding Pops ended the Cold War and led to the fall of the Soviet Union. And she laughed. I'm like, no, really. I mean, that's an example. When we talked about this originally, because this was your idea. This was originally your idea.
This was my idea.
We came at this at odds. You felt that it was capitalism, like it was the overt capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
Not to put words in your mouth.
No, you're right.
What I see is rampant consumerism. I see the unapologetic, rampant consumerism that is in the United States today, and definitely more so was in the 1980s. But I'm looking right now at a picture on your computer of Boris Yeltsin, literally seeing the world change in front of him because he's looking at Pudding Pops in a freezer section at a Randalls in Clear Lake. And that's how history happens, right there. I'm not saying that this led to that. History is more nuanced. There's no way to know.
Drinking also with Yeltsin.
If you don't think that Boris Yeltsin was not severely impacted by this trip to an average grocery store in Podunk, Texas, you don't understand how history works. Everything starts somewhere.
I'm going to title this How Pudding Pops Ended the Cold War.
Were you waiting to say that one?
No, you gave me the idea.
Okay, well, if you look at your history, Boris Yeltsin's also singularly responsible for the rise of Vladimir Putin and Medvedev.
Inadvertently.
No, literally.
You're right.
Quite literally. Yeltsin chose Vladimir Putin as his successor. He's going to help lead post-collapse of communist Russia into the 21st century.
But Yeltsin drank a lot, so.
And Yeltsin drank a lot. And Putin led Russia into Crimea, Ukraine. All right, so.
David, I think we covered how Pudding Pops saved the world.
Pudding Pops and the fall of communism.
So, folks, this has been H-Town Rewind. If you have any comments, suggestions, please send them to htownrewind, that's all one word, @gmail.com. And listen to us on your podcast of choice. You would really help us if you would share with a friend.
Actually, you'd really help us if you listened. I said that out loud and realized how they would be hearing this unless they were listening.
I can edit that part out.
No.
But I'm not going to.
I'm fine. I'm fine with that.
Listen, share, and we'll see you next time. You know what? We got to talk about the Halloween episode. We'll do that off mic.
Also, I'd like to say one more thing.
Please.
Thank you for listening, and we both hope you have a great week.
Bye-bye.
Oh, you better walk right, and you better not squabble, and you better not fight, best proper will arrest you. Hit and boom and take it down. You can bet your bottom dollar that you're a sugar land doll. Let's be nice, special.